talking about it. Showtime!
Ready, men? Contact! Contact! We are on the air.
Guys, we are all here for the same reason. I cannot stress this enough. It's gonna get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning. It's a Wednesday. Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now. It is the 22nd of May, 2019. So thankful to have you here with us. Check us out online. All of the things that happen on the show, joeandalexshow.com. Of course, our Instagram and Twitter, it's at Joe and Alex Show. And the number to call in is 833-JOE-ALEX. We have a lot going on today. If you're listening to us in Indianapolis, Indiana, we're getting ready for the Indy 500. It's a big IndyCar race on Sunday, and we wanted to hook you up. We're having a big carb night party on Friday night, so your chance to win today if you're listening in Indianapolis, Indiana, at 625, 725, 825, and 925-ish. You want to be caller number 9 at 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539, and we will be hooking you up with our carb night party passes, which is going to have Ali Brooke will be performing, John Kimball from
Jordan Kimball.
I'm thinking of the guy from the Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm Detective John Kimball, you idiot.
No, Jordan from Bachelor in Paradise.
But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying John
Kimball. Yeah.
And Ali Brooke is going to be performing her new song for the very, very, very first time.
Whoa, how do you? I didn't even hear that. You know that?
I do know that.
Dang, live the web girl with the inside info. Usually Alex has got all the gossip with the garbage, but look at you. Look out with Liv. We'll call it a new segment. So that's what's coming up. But we got a lot going on today. Of course, it being a Wednesday, we're going to tell you what we're into coming up in a little bit. Also, Alex will get us caught up on everything happening with the garbage. I had a complete breakdown at couples therapy last night, which is funny because talking to everybody after the show, talking about the next day's show, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to therapy. I don't think there'll be much to it, but, you know, we'll see. And woof, it'll be an interesting break. It's coming up around 8, 7 central. Alex, how was your day yesterday?
It was good. I started my very first ever audiobook. I'm a reader, so I usually read, like, paper books. I don't ever do the audiobook thing, but I did end up doing an audiobook thing because I got my lash extensions refilled yesterday. When you get your lash extensions refilled, you lay there for like 2 hours with your eyes closed.
Oh, tell me about it. I know, girl.
So when I lay there, I usually take what's called a lash nap, but I like to have something that I'm listening to. But the problem is, which I can't stand, is that like you, if you listen to a podcast, they always run out. And then I'm just sitting there with, I'm not listening to anything. So I started listening to this audiobook. I had talked about it on Murder Monday, actually, a couple days ago. And a lot of people have been asking me on DMs and stuff, what was that book that you said? It's Whoever Fights Monsters by Robert Ressler, who is like a former FBI profiler. And so he goes into detail about certain famous serial killers. He worked on their cases and basically how he profiled them and kind of knew what they were going to be like. And it was very fascinating. But I always wonder, as this chick is working on my lashes, if she can hear what I'm listening to. Because if she could, she'd probably be real freaked out.
I'd be worried you'd get excited or scared and jump. Not that you're gonna like get cut or anything. I don't know what would happen if you went wrong, but like you don't want to move it. Like at the dentist, don't listen to that. Like
You're right. That is a good idea. Yeah, don't listen to this while you're at the dentist.
I don't want to be sleeping. Well, that sounds like a fun thing. At least you got through it. Liv the web girl. How was your day yesterday?
My day was super good. It was like kind of busy. But I just found out I have a favorite podcast, and it's been probably my favorite podcast for at least 3 years, like even before I started working here. And I just found out that Zac Efron is like a giant fan of this podcast that I listen to. And I'm like so hyped and stoked about it. And also, I just feel like that is like another reason of why me and Zac Efron would be a match made in heaven.
But have you watched this new Netflix movie about Ted Bundy yet?
Yes, I have.
And what'd you think?
You'd be willing to let him kill you?
He's so hot. Like, he is so hot. Like, he's hot. Obviously, he's hotter than Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy is obviously, like, a horrific, awful person. But watching the movie, it was, like, hard to, you know, remember how awful Ted Bundy was because Zac Efron is just so wildly attractive.
Yeah, and the movie isn't scary because it's through the eyes of his girlfriend.
Right.
So that's why it was a little bit romanticized, because it's like how she felt, how confusing it was to her to be totally in love with him, with Ted Bundy, that is. And then, you know, he becomes one of the world's biggest serial killers.
For sure. And there's a shirt off scene in that movie. So.
Isn't there a naked butt scene too?
Yes.
And yes.
It's worth it.
Well, I mean, if that's what you ladies need in your life, Pork Chop shows his butt half the time, and I can take my shirt off. I mean, is that what you're looking for? We'll take care of you. We care about you. Pork Chop, man, I know a little bit about you. Had a late night last night, but how was your day overall yesterday?
The best part about my day yesterday was I took a nap, and that was good.
Cool.
Yeah. I found out that one of my favorite sub shops closed down. That was the start of the bad night.
Why did it close down?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Like,
there's
everyone,
more of those.
I know, but they're just farther away.
Oh, okay.
There's one right from work. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do know that.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I don't live near work. So anyways, yeah, so I have to travel farther now. And then, so that was the start of the night. And then I went home to study because I start my second new job today.
Oh, yeah.
And I have, like, a lot of studying to do because it's, like, really intense. So I literally sit down to start studying. My boyfriend Chase had worked 12 hours. He came home and went to bed, and I guess my phone, like, just started blowing up. Actually, I was in the shower first. My phone started blowing up. Text message, ding, 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 ding. And, like, I'm in the shower, so I can't, like, turn it off. So he, like, threw my phone, woke up. Then he goes to get food, hits a pothole, blows out his tire, dents the rim.
Oh,
dang, so,
like,
homie.
Yeah, so like after the shower, I was gonna, like I said, study for my new job, but I don't know. So we had to go and sit there for 2 hours and wait for a tow truck. So I went home, studied, went to bed at like 1:30, so I got 2 hours of sleep.
Dang. Why did you study anyway? I would have waited till today.
When am I going to do? Oh, yeah, that's the worst part of the story is I'm literally working today from like 5 a.m. or whatever time it is now till 10 p.m. straight.
Dang.
I thought they weren't going to make you work till 9 p.m. or later than 9.
Well, this is training, so the training is very intense.
I think you'll be able to get through the training, though. I think it's better that you're going into training today and it's going to be a long-ass day than, okay, don't mess up. You're actually going to seat this table and take their order.
Well, right. I also think you're going to be running on adrenaline. So you're going to be, I think you'll be fine as far as like tired-wise. You're going to be running on adrenaline because it's a new job. You're going to be meeting new people.
Yeah.
I think that you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You seem like Eeyore right now.
Oh.
I think it's just because he's super tired. I think it's just because he's tired.
Well,
I could be wrong. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean,
I don't know. I think that's it. I wish we didn't have a billion meetings today. Like,
yeah,
that would be fine
stink.
So I could take a nap or study more. But, like, no.
Well,
I'm going to literally have to leave the meeting early and go straight to my other job.
I'm determined to, like, make you laugh today because you were like,
all right.
I feel bad you had such a bad day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pretty terrible.
Well, my back's feeling a little bit better. I've been taking, like, they gave me some kind of, like, steroid for it. I guess, like, some pills.
Was it? Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was a steroid injection.
Yeah, they shot my butt up. They're like, hey, you can start lifting weights, too, and you're going to be really strong. And I was like, hell yeah. No, but hopefully that's going to get better. And, I mean, yeah, my big thing I want to talk about this morning at around, I think, 8, 7 Central is my total breakdown in therapy last night. Absolutely insane, but it's weird. As sad as I was at the time, I feel so good right now. So, but I'll explain more about that.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Halsey has offered to pay the speeding ticket of a fan who was jamming out to her new single Nightmare before getting the citation. The fan tweeted, driving home from Penn State and I got pulled over and given a ticket for the first time ever. And when I was asked by the police officer why I was going 99 and a 70, I was dangerously close to admitting that I was banging out to Halsey's new song Nightmare. So Halsey responded to that fan and they were like, what's your Venmo? I'll pay your ticket. Drive safely, please.
Wow, that's amazing.
I thought that was really cool. Cardi B has backed out of a Memorial Day concert in Baltimore after sources say she needs to recover from a recent liposuction and breast augmentation. Her doctors advised her to take time for the swelling to go down and to recover. I guess she's had some pretty bad complications. Her team released a statement saying Cardi says she's very disappointed and hates to let her fans down, but she wants to reassure them that she'll see them in September. Actress Rebecca Gayhart, who you might remember from the movie Jawbreaker and Scream 2, revealed that she was suicidal after she killed a 9-year-old boy in a car accident in 2001. She said, "I had a very terrible accident happen. A 9-year-old child died. And you know, everything changed from that. And I still have trouble talking about it." She paid for the little boy's funeral and settled a wrongful death suit filed by his parents in 2002. And she added that she spent about a year after the accident trying to kill herself by doing every self-destructive thing that she could do.
Oh, God, that's just so terrible on both ends, but just to keep on beating yourself up.
Yep. At the beginning of the week, Aaron Carter said that while he and Michael Jackson had a great relationship, that Jackson was inappropriate with him one time. But now he seems to be backtracking on his claim. He tweeted, "My reasoning for even speaking on the subject is to tell my truth, be real, and to also have his back based on my experiences with Michael. He was an amazing guy, and I stand by that. So I ask you not to turn this into something it wasn't. In my opinion, it was a little inappropriate. What's the problem with that? I'm not trying to achieve anything except telling my story to validate he didn't do anything sexual. Are you this stupid? Honestly?" And then he says, "As I've said, my story validates my opinion that Michael didn't do anything sexual." Literally two sentences up, he says he was a little inappropriate. I don't understand this guy. He's just on drugs. Like, that's all there is. Like, there is, I don't know any other way to explain how this guy is like, he did, he didn't, he did, he didn't every other day. None of this makes sense. It's not even coherent. So I think the moral of the story is just whatever. I don't think we believe anything Aaron Carter says because he just isn't consistent with any of his stories. And Roseanne Barr admitted that she is still active on Twitter, but you'd be surprised how.
No, I have a lot of, troll accounts. So I say what I want in anonymous, under anonymous name. And I say the stuff I want to say. I think everybody's got troll backup accounts, really, if you want to say anything.
It was a good one, too. Like, I think I found it. It was like, not Roseanne Barr.
No.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
We're the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now. What would it take? Think about your family members, your friends, whoever's close to you that you would expect to one day have by your side as you're getting married. I've already had this thought because, well, I've been married for 3.5, almost 4 years. But I ask Alex, Liv the Web Girl, producer Porkchop, and you listening to the Joe and Alex Show, what would it take to kick someone out of your wedding? A bride kicked her sister out because, well, she did the unthinkable. She cut her hair.
Yeah, that would make me mad. If it was like a significant haircut, like you had long hair and you get a pixie cut, yeah, you're out.
So let me explain why she cut her hair, though, because I think you'll change your tune. But yeah, pixie cut is drastic from having long hair. The woman went on a Bridezilla forum. A lot of these things are on Reddit. And she wrote that she was going to be a bridesmaid in her sister's wedding, but she cut her hair less than 2 weeks before the big day. She cut the long lower back part, like pretty much here, almost where her butt was, to shoulder length, and donated the 14 inches of hair to kind of like Locks of Love to help out people like little kids, you know, have hair if they're bald or losing it to cancer. Aww. Or different treatments. So obviously that might change the opinion a bit, but even that being said, Alex, do you still think you'd be mad if somebody did it for that reason?
Drastic appearance changes. I would be ticked off or refusing to do what I ask them to when it comes to their appearance. So like if I really want them all to wear their hair up and one refuses, or I really want them all to wear the same nail color and one refuses, or they, you know, don't want to wear the dress that I picked out, all those different types of things.
Wait,
then, yeah,
nail
no.
color? Because I'm a guy, I don't that. Care. Would you be the same thing, Liv? Like if they didn't want to wear the same nail color?
I don't know if I would go as far as nail color, but okay. I think I've had my sisters. My sisters did not want any extreme nail color. So, like, I got, like, a very pale, pale pink, almost like a translucent pink. But, yeah, so I get if they're, like, refusing to wear their hair up, if you want them to, I get that. But a haircut for Locks of Love, that's a little.
To be the other side of that, though, Liv, you could have waited 2 more weeks. Your hair would have been a little bit longer, right?
True.
It's not like they needed hair that week. Like, hey, we need hair this week or we're not going to be able to do anything for kids.
Maybe she was trying to sabotage.
You think?
It might be why the bride got rid of her. She knew.
Yeah.
I actually knew a person in college, and their sister kicked out one of her good friends because she gained like a massive amount of weight.
No, really?
Wow.
She gained a massive amount of weight, and she got so crazy by the end of it that she wanted like it. She literally wanted it to be like Instagram picture perfect, like. Everyone.
How did she kick her out, Liv? Did she say, hey, you're getting kind of fat? Or what did she say?
I don't know the details, but I'm pretty sure she was just like, hey, look, I know like there's stuff going on with you and you've gained weight. So I think like maybe it would be bad that you weren't in the wedding. I think she tried to turn it around like, you're clearly stressed and have stuff going on, and like, I don't want that in my wedding.
Right? That would crush me. That would absolutely crush me.
Brutal.
Oh my God, Alex, would you ever do that? Be honest.
I would not. Okay. I mean, that is really mean.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Those are things that.
But technically, that's a drastic.
Technically, it is, yeah, but I would be, I'm just not that big of a brat.
Right. But I also know someone who kicked out their maid of honor because she got blacked out at the wedding shower and, like, the bridal shower.
Yeah, that would be a good reason.
She got blacked out and caused, like, a huge fight and was talking about how much the party cost and how she needed the other bridesmaids to pay her back, like, at the bridal party.
All right, to be fair, though, it's been all been bubbling over. It's her fault to get upset. If you owe me money, you better have it.
She got kicked out, and then at the end of the day, the bride let her back in. I would absolutely not let anyone back in my bridal party at all. It would be debatable if you were even invited to the wedding.
I love all this drama. I love this. My wedding was so boring and basic. I just had a cousin that showed up and killed it with his own moonshine. I mean, mine wasn't that good. A New Jersey man fired his son from the family plumbing business after he was caught urinating on a memorial for a young child who died from brain cancer. You probably saw this story the past couple of days. The son was charged with lewdness, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief for relieving himself on the memorial. He blamed booze for the incident. The dad said, quote, "I had to remove him from employment. We apologize to the family. I'm sorry for his actions. I'm not proud of him. Ultimately, it's my fault. Wow. Maybe we didn't teach him right." I don't know. I don't know how you can teach your adult son not to pee on a dead kid's memorial. I think that's just your kid sucking at life or your child. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily a parent being bad.
That's so humiliating. Oh, I feel bad for those parents.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for both parents. I feel bad for the parents who already lost their kid and had their kid's memorial dishonored like that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that dad. This guy's got a business. You know, people probably aren't going to do business with that family business now. And then he has to fire his son. You know what I mean? That's an awkward family get-together on the 4th of July or whatever they get together. How about this? You got drug dealers in your town? Maybe you could try what this mayor's doing in Mississippi. A mayor in Clarksdale, Mississippi, is trying to eliminate the criminal elements in his town by paying them to leave. That's
Whoa.
Right. He's got a 5-point crime system plan, including cash to help criminals make the move out of town. The mayor said, quote, "They may be in the wrong environment. I will put money on the line to assist those type of people to move out of the city. It is better for you to leave our city than to wreak havoc upon a community. If you're interested in helping us out with our positive growth," he said, $10,000 is what he'll put up, and then he's asking local businesses to help front the rest.
That is honestly incredible.
Wait, do you think that's actually a good idea?
Like, I love it.
Like, there's people like drug dealers right now listening to the Joe and Alex show, and we wanted to move out of Indian Houston. Like, do you think we should give them each $10,000?
Yeah, why not? I mean, they'll probably not really move. I'm sure they're just going to take it and spend it on drugs.
I'm going to buy some more drugs. Yeah, I don't know. That is an interesting idea.
If you can actually make sure and hold them accountable that they're going to use that money to move, then why not?
Coca-Cola is bringing back New Coke. This is like back when we were... I was born in 1985. Was anybody else alive then?
1985?
I was born like almost in 86.
I wasn't
so
alive.
Nobody else was born on the show.
No, that's almost like 10 years older than me.
Okay, yeah, 1985 I was born like at the very end, but they brought out something called New Coke, and it was a big flop. People hated it, I think, within like 2 to 4 months. Like, it was like off the shelves. It was a giant flop. Well, Stranger Things is coming back out on July 4th, and it's kind of set in 1985, so they're going to be releasing to the public. If you want to buy some, a lot of it's online, but you can get the New Coke, the actual recipe they had.
Yes.
And you can see how much it sucks. I kind of want to see what it tastes like.
We have a lot of really good shows that are about to come out. Handmaid's Tale, Big Little Lies, the second season, Stranger Things, Younger, Handmaid's Tale. I don't remember if I said that already.
You did three times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I am really excited. I've got a lot of summer shows.
I might actually watch Stranger Things because I saw the promo, and there's a guy named Billy in it who's shirtless in the promo. And
wait, you've never watched Stranger Things?
No.
I've only watched the first season. I haven't watched the second one.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I just heard it's like spooky and scary.
Oh my God.
Oh God, it isn't. Live scared again. Watch out.
It's not scary.
All right, if you're like, wait, didn't you just do a story about this the other day? I did, but here's another story. This actually is happening. We're based in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're also on the air in Houston, Texas on the new 92.1 Radio Now. But this happened in Indiana, I believe in Greenwood. A kindergartner at an elementary school in Indiana was ordered to carry her tray of hot food back through the cafeteria after she didn't have enough money in her account to pay for the $2.25 meal. Her family says the six-year-old girl was, quote, lunch-shamed.
Okay.
She was ordered to the back of the lunch line to wait for a cold lunch, and the classmates laughed at her. Her grandfather calls it a cafeteria walk of shame and is calling for policy change because it's embarrassing. I agree, Alex. Think about back to little third or fifth grade.
I've done this so many times.
Hold on. Think this, please. Third to fifth grade, little Alex, little cute little Alexander, little bow in her hair, just, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. She's got her little hot lunch. They're chicken nuggets, because it's the only thing she'll eat, right? And an apple juice. Sorry, Alex, you don't have money in your account. You have to walk all the way back through the line with the tray in your hand and drop it off.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it happened to me.
Pay for the kid's damn lunch. Well, it shouldn't have.
At my school, when your parents forget to put the money in your account, which happens all the time, they just forget. And then you go through the line, you get your lunch, and then, yeah, that literally happened to me probably a handful of times in my school career.
They didn't give you lunch?
You get a cold lunch option or you don't eat, which I would never eat the peanut butter sandwich or whatever, so I just wouldn't eat.
That's insane to me. At my school, so we used to have tokens, and so in the beginning of school, like every Wednesday, you could go and refill tokens. Like, you could get one or you could get like 500, whatever. And you needed to bring a token every single day to school. I would always run out of tokens because, and I would just always forget, and I was always late to school, so I couldn't get there beforehand to get tokens when we still did it that way. And they would still serve me lunch.
I don't get the point. Like, what are they going to
serve it? But it's gross.
What's the point, though, of making that girl?
No, they wouldn't serve cold lunch. They would serve me hot lunch.
If they put the girl in the back of the line, are they going to reserve that food that she had in her tray? Or are they just throwing it out,
too? They throw it out.
That's so stupid.
That's so awful, especially when there's kids in that school that probably, like, their only meals are at school, and they're just going to, like, throw, like, waste food like that. I just think that is absolutely absurd.
And I feel like it's just top of mind. Like, if you see, like, hey, guys, this one company messed up, make sure we don't fall in the same crap that they do. Then, like, a few days later, because this is national news about the other lady that was fired and got her job back. Like, just give the kid the lunch. Is it really that big of a deal? Give the kid the lunch right there. Lenny, our technical producer in Houston on the new 92.1 Radio Now. What you want to say, bud?
I just feel like, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but isn't it, like, important to teach you, like, yo, if you don't have any money, you're not going to eat?
I think that is a very basic rule of thumb that even probably first graders understand. If you don't have money, you can't eat. That's probably why they're like, mom and dad, like, are we poor?
Do we,
like,
really
whatever?
Want, though,
everyone,
Lenny,
knows that.
Do we want a first grader to really have to figure out that if you don't have money, you can't eat? Can we let kids be kids?
But that's the thing. The story isn't about she got to eat. She got a cold lunch. She just couldn't eat the hot lunch, which is more expensive.
But why should
they
we
didn't
even
make
have to,
her starve?
But
the
why should
problem
we have
is,
to make the kid, Alex, like, have to realize, like, well, you don't have enough money for this?
Because she doesn't have enough money for it. That's what happens. You have to go
one
back in
time.
Line and get the cold lunch.
I think what they should do, which is, this is what they would do at my school, is that they would say, okay, just bring the money for it tomorrow. And then they would call home, call the parents and say, hey, Olivia didn't have a token for lunch today, or she didn't have enough money for lunch today. We let her still have lunch. This is what you guys owe us. And then if it's a continuing problem, then you address it in a different way.
Yeah, my schools always did that, except they gave me the cold lunch and then would call my parents and say, you need to make sure that you put money in Alex's account because she doesn't have any for hot lunch tomorrow. So the longer you wait and don't fill the account up, the longer she's going to have cold lunch.
They did that in high school or in grade school?
Everywhere I went. Anywhere. I was in public schools, private schools.
I just can't turn the kid. I can't turn a kid down. I can absolutely not turn a kid down.
But they weren't turned down. That's the thing. It was just a cold lunch. They still ate.
I get that they ate food, but I can't imagine making a kid walk all the way through there. But I don't know. That right there is Joe's Need to Know News. If you do have an opinion on any of that, why don't you tweet us at Joe and Alex Show? And by the way, you can always comment on all this. All you have to do is you can go to joeandalexshow.com to check that out, but tweet us at Joe and Alex Show. I am so intrigued. I'm also jealous and butthurt. Hey, it's the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now. Alex Clark, you can follow her, Yo Alex Raps with a Z. Not that she needs any more followers. She's got the most. But Joe Pesh Radio, too, if you want to give me a little follow-up. It's been a few days.
I feel
kind of lonely.
The thirst.
Alex, well, I think I know who did this because you're thirsty with this person, but I'll wait. But you blew up our text last night. Actually, this is why Porkchop's boyfriend got mad at him because his phone kept going ding, 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 ding. Because we're like, what? We were all guessing. You had somebody slide into your DMs.
The most famous person that's ever slid into my DMs or talked to me through DM. It happened last night, and I, like, almost passed out.
Almost passed out. Are we being dramatic a little bit?
No. this is one of my celebrity crushes, and I never thought in a million years they would respond to me.
I want to give the listeners right now a chance, 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-JOE-ALEX. If you want to call in before Alex announces it, maybe you can get it right. Who do you think the celebrity is that Alex says? Did you poop your pants a little?
A lot.
Okay, big old turd came out.
I literally screamed. Screamed.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it possible that whoever this person is listens to the show in either Indy or Houston?
No.
Oh, okay. So they probably saw you through Instagram. Is it safe to say that?
I'm going to.
Yes.
You probably commented on something and then they DM'd you.
I did not comment on anything.
Oh, so they've been scoping you.
No. So they replied to me because I just replied to their Instagram story.
Got
something
it.
Not oh. even trying to slide in. I was just casually Got responding it. And then they responded back to me.
Now, what helps you get?
Okay. Here's the thing. She is verified on Instagram.
Yes, that's what
so
I was just going to ask.
The blue check mark definitely helps your chances of getting a response
but
back.
But does that, as I'm asking real quick, does the blue verified thing help when you actually are going into a DM like
yes,
the
yes,
other part of the story?
No.
Is it separated?
Well, I know with Twitter.
Yes, it's still separate.
With Twitter,
okay.
Twitter it's,
Twitter is different.
Yeah,
but
Twitter
I was wondering,
is different.
In a direct message, a right. DM, like a story reply,
right.
A lot of times you have to like, it's like, it says like request.
Right.
And the new thing, it says like,
yeah, I know it says request, but like still, I think the blue, I mean, they can still see the blue check mark even
if
in
they,
that.
If they go to your profile, see who requested
you. No, you can, it's by your name in your DMs.
It is, but
oh,
if you
is.
Are not
okay.
already friends or messaging each other, they still
have to
weed through all their other
request.
DMs. It doesn't
right.
like show up special like right. on Twitter.
Okay. 833-JOE-ALEX, I think we got a call or two we're about to put on. Before we do that, I kind of, like if I had to guess... Actually, you know what? I'm going to let Brad go first. Brad, you're on the Joe and Alex show. Who do you think slid into Alex's DMs that made her go, ah?
Man, I'm going to go with AC Slater, Mario Lopez.
No.
Nope.
Oh, man.
More or less famous than that?
I don't even know who the first guy is, so no.
AC Slater.
Oh, I don't know
that.
Bell.
You've never watched Saved by the
Definitely,
Bell?
Definitely. That guy is nothing.
Mario Lopez.
D minus celebrity. Mario Lopez, no.
Wow, Brad, you got rejected.
This is one of my celebrity crushes.
Okay, well.
Is it a politician?
Yeah, I assume it's a politician.
It's not a politician. I don't have a celebrity crush on any
actor.
Politicians.
Is it an actor?
It is not an actor.
Singer?
Not a singer.
Someone from the Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise.
No, that's not famous enough.
Okay, wait a minute. Alex, I know. At least, here's what I think. I see you're always thirsty on, I think it's Eric Decker.
Is it an athlete?
Like, it is an athlete.
But you don't know junk about sports.
Here's what
I don't.
She knows the hot athletes, and she's a fan of the Patriots because they're all hot.
So, wait, did Tom Brady slide into your DMs? What about Giselle?
So let me tell you, are you ready?
Yes.
Hold on. I think we have one more guess. I'm gonna give a listener one more okay. guess. Wait, Liv, do you have some guesses there
no,
too?
No, she can't guess.
I can't guess.
No, I mean, do you have
I'm
some
right.
social media guesses?
No.
All right, I'm gonna go to Hunter. Hunter, you're on the Joe and Alex show. Who do you think slid into Alex's DMs?
Keith West.
Who?
Not Taylor. It's a guy, a celebrity crush.
Oh.
Not a girl.
Okay.
Oh, she said T-Swift. I said she said Seacrest. I'm like, who cares about Ryan
no,
Seacrest?
No, but actually Taylor Swift did follow me on Tumblr until I deleted my Tumblr like last year, but she was following me on there. Okay, so are you ready?
Yes. Wait, can I say my three guesses or
no.
you just want to say it?
Can I
I'm going to say
can
it.
Can I say my
guess? Because
it'll
take my thunder.
Can okay. I say my guess?
Joe's guess is Eric Decker.
Yes.
I knew it. Kay. I was right.
Okay, so the person who messaged me on Instagram last night is Danny Amendola!
I knew it, and here's why. So after I guessed, I said in our group text last night, I said it's either Julian Edelman, Tom Brady, or Danny Amendola, because she's obsessed with all three of them, and especially Julian Edelman and
True.
Danny Amendola. She leaves the thirstiest comments on their pictures, like, Daddy, yes, with, like, the tongue sticking out. And
but I didn't do that this time.
So then I, though, went and watched all three of their Instagram stories just now.
Yeah.
And I saw Julian Edelman's, and I was like, no way she replied to his, because his wasn't anything. Tom Brady's just said Taco Tuesday, so his wasn't anything. But then I just watched Danny Amendola's, and he had a longer story, and he was like hitting baseballs, and he
he was
really
doing batting
practice.
I just went to his Instagram too.
Right,
he was doing batting practice at America Park.
So what did you say?
Hey. The Egyptian can suck it.
You talk about your ex, who obviously it sounds like you're never getting back together with. Okay.
Yeah. So listen.
What'd you say? Like, hey, I like the way you hit your balls.
No, I didn't actually respond to that one. So the first, if it's still up, the first thing in his story was it was a sponsor.
Nope.
Baseball. It was Black Rifle Coffee Company, I think. Unless that's gone now, maybe it expired. But he was posting about Black Rifle Coffee Company, which is a really awesome brand. I know of that brand, and so all I did was they sent him stuff or whatever, and he just said, like, thank you, Black Rifle Coffee Company, for sending me all this stuff. And so I responded and said, heck yes, period. And then he responded to me and put a smile. So then I put a wink, and he saw it, but he did not respond to that. So he's probably, honestly...
Hold on a second. He gave you a smile, and you're...
It was still a smile. He was probably just being friendly because I was, like, saying, like, ooh, I like your... You know, who sent you this? I like this brand that obviously he's partnering with. But either way, it was the best moment of my life.
Right, so here's the thing. I definitely think the blue check mark definitely had something to do with him responding to you. But I also think you could be the next Olivia Culpo. Because Olivia Culpo was not that big.
That's his ex-girlfriend.
I know, yes. And she's like a supermodel now, but she...
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. Even though she isn't like an A-list celebrity, she's a supermodel.
Yeah, she's super Instagram famous.
I don't stand a chance.
Alex just did get her eyebrows done, so...
Eyelashes.
So, I mean, she's pretty much right there.
So, but I think you could be the next Olivia Culpo, because Olivia Culpo was not that big.
I just need a boob job. Please hook me up with a boob job?
I'll give you some. What size do you want? I got C's.
And then I will be good to go.
I don't think he's going to date you for a boob job, because even Olivia Culpo he dumped. So clearly it's not about the body.
True.
And I don't want you to date any Detroit athletes, because like I'm a Detroit sports person and they've already had enough problems.
Yeah,
I don't
so
need
if you,
you
don't know,
of it.
He played for the Patriots. Then I think he went to the Dolphins or something like that for a little bit. And now he's on the Detroit Lions. So that's who Danny Amendola is, if you do not know.
You could finally
see. But he is, if you don't know who he is, you need to look up his Instagram, because he is one of the hottest NFL players of all time and exactly my type. So anyway, that was my win for the day yesterday.
I'd say this is a new game, but we have to screenshot this going forward. I say we try to, guys or girls, we try to slide in celebrities' DMs and see who can get a response.
That's a really good idea.
You guys want to do that?
I mean, sure, go for it.
I mean, you don't do it every day, but I think like whoever gets the most in a month or something would be kind of cool.
Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. I'm so into you, I can barely breathe.
All right, we go around the room, we share things that we're into. For me, it's a book, I can't say the full title, but it's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. But I think you can figure out that.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that book.
I think it's been out for a little bit, but I'm finally jumping on the train. Mark Manson's the author, and I'm kind of, I'm only a chapter into it, so I can't fully describe the book, but I do like it so far. But here's kind of like something they say describing it. So this isn't necessarily my own words, but they say author Mark Manson makes the argument, backed by both academic research and poop jokes, that improving our life kind of hinges not on our ability to turn lemons into lemonade, but on learning to stomach lemons better. Human beings are flawed and limited. Not everybody can be extraordinary. There are winners and there are losers in society, and some of it's not fair, and none of it, and sometimes it's not even your fault. He advises you to get to know your limitations and accept them and start confronting painful truths. We can begin to find the courage, perseverance, honesty, responsibility, curiosity, and forgiveness that we seek when we do that.
Sounds like the perfect book for you, plus the poop jokes.
There's a lot of poop and a lot of F words. It's like I'm talking to Liv. I love it. So that's what I'm into this week. Alex, what are you into?
All right, so how much do I clown on American Idol?
All the time.
Hate it. I think you're lame AF if you watch American Idol still. I mean, I just think it's for meemaws and peepaws. However, I was tricked, swindled, and gypped into liking someone who was just on the last season, I guess.
Meemaw Alex in the house.
Yeah, I just discovered this new song. I had no idea who the person was that was singing it. I guess they were the second runner-up to American Idol last season, Alejandro Aranda or something. He got second place, but he has his like artist name on iTunes and stuff is Scary Pool Party, which is kind of funny. So if you search for Scary Pool Party, he has a ton of good music. It's like all acoustic, and I was just blown away by by the lyrics and how beautiful these songs are. And the guitar in a lot of his songs sounds to me a lot like John Mayer. So I'm very into it. But this song is called Fading Away by Scary Pool Party.
As we fell apart, you took my whole heart away.
Voice. Meanwhile, Alex with the bop this week. Thanks, Mima.
I was seriously bawling my eyes out listening to his music yesterday. Just sitting there crying.
Oh, well, that's good stuff right there. I like that voice. Liv the Web Girl, what are you into?
So I'm into a song by Vance Joy, who is one of my favorite artists. And I've just been jamming out to this song so much. It's kind of different, but I just love it. It's called Straight In.
I got goosebumps, Liv. And that's Vance Joy. They sing the song you might know, Riptide, right?
What is this song called?
It's called Straight Into Your Arms. This is Vance Joy. He does sing Riptide. He has the most versatile voice.
Thought it was
in
a woman
world.
For a second.
Yeah, his voice is super high in this song.
No, totally. Serious.
But he has other songs where like his voice is totally different. He is amazing. Check him out and check this song out.
All right, cool. That's what we're into. You can see all these. We have swipe up links for each individual one on our Instagram story. It's at Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Lil Nas X showed his love to Billy Ray Cyrus for Old Town Road being a success by buying him a Maserati sports car. He showed up at Billy Ray's house in cowboy attire as Postmates delivered the Maserati. There's a video, and they hop in the car, and Billy Ray Cyrus is, like, freaking out, and they drive off for a ride. Here's a clip of the video.
What's up?
What are you doing here, man?
Yeah, I got you something. What? I got you something.
What are you talking about?
I need you to come out here.
I need you to come here. Look at you all lit up, man.
I got you something.
Wait a minute. There's no way.
It's yours. Old Town Road, number one, 7 weeks.
Hey, 7 weeks, man. Yeah. Wow, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wait, like, isn't that like, all the money he's made, probably? It's one song. You're going to go buy Billy Ray a Maserati?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I'm worried about that kid.
Me too.
Ellen DeGeneres announced Tuesday that she, do you think she is leaving the Ellen Show or staying?
No, she was talking about that she might.
I know.
Is she?
Here's what she had to say.
From the beginning, I said that this show was going to be like a relationship. Uh-huh. We have been through the good, the bad, the 50 Shades of Grey phase, and it's been a lot of fun, and 16 years is a pretty good run. Sometimes you need to take a break.
No!
But I don't. You're stuck with me because I just signed for 3 more years.
Yeah! I'm dancing in the studio.
Natalie Portman is setting the record straight on her rumored relationship with the singer Moby. In his tell-all memoir, the singer and producer claimed that he had a brief but romantic fling with the young star after meeting her backstage at one of his shows. So he wrote in the book, "I was a bald, binge drinker, and Natalie Portman was a beautiful movie star, but here she was in my dressing room flirting with me." He goes on to say that their romance ended when Natalie revealed that she met another man, which he described as a moment of sweet relief because because he said, I thought that I was going to have to tell her that my panic was too egregious for me to be in a real relationship. But one night on the phone, she informed me that she'd met somebody else. And so I was relieved I'd never have to tell her how damaged I was. Well, Natalie Portman is pissed and she's firing back. She's accusing Moby of lying about their interactions and, I thought this was juicy, about their ages. She clarified to Harper's Bazaar UK. She said, he said I was 20. I definitely wasn't. I was a teenager. I had just turned 18. She thinks that he intentionally lied about the nature of their interactions as a way to sell his book, and she said that she would have preferred that he or his publishers actually fact-check the story. She said that he used the story to sell his book, which was very disturbing to her. She said that even at the time, she knew that he was a much older man being creepy, which is contrary to Moby's claim that she essentially initiated a relationship. Chris Rock told fans that the Saw reboot would not be a comedy. The comedian, actor, and director said that the new Saw will just have elements of humor amid the torture and horror. He said it's going to be Saw, so don't worry. He's going to star in it and executive produce the new film that's going to come out October 23rd, 2020.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
No, hell no, I do not.
And Howard Stern talked about his days as a judge on America's Got Talent.
So I left America's Got Talent because it was basically silly. I was judging singers. I don't sing.
No.
You know, I mean, what am I
doing? You have ears.
Oh, I would go out there. I would go, oh, you're terrible. You can't sing this and that, the other thing. And I was like, oh, well, who cares if I ruin their career? I'm interesting. But, I mean, it was fun for a while, but, you know. Turns out America didn't have that much talent.
Yes.
In less than an hour in the next garbage, this artist is becoming an ordained minister.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
Have you ever felt your heart just poop its pants? Just straight up poop its pants. That is what happened to Liv and I yesterday. It's Alex with the Joe and Alex Show. Joe, Liv the Web Girl, producer Pork Chop in the studio. And all of this happened because of how Joe introduced himself to our new black coworker yesterday.
Straight lava out of our bumhole.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday, we are introduced to our new coworker who is African American. He walks in, he says, hi, I'm so and so. This is what Joe says. Hi, I'm Joe. Nice to meet you. By the way, I'm not racist. Liv and I looked at each other. I seriously felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I got hives. I couldn't even breathe. I felt like I was having a heart attack.
I started smiling because I felt so uncomfortable and my face started to get beat red that I tried to keep my head down because I didn't know what to do. It was like an outer body experience.
Okay, it was not that bad. It was not that bad.
Yes, it actually was that bad.
Unfortunately, I was not in the room to experience this.
Producer Pork Chop was out.
And I come in the room, and Alex and Liv are like, oh my gosh, Pork Chop. Joe literally just said to our new African-American coworker that he's not racist. I'm like, Joe, that's the first thing you said. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
Within the first 30 seconds of meeting him for the very first time.
I would love to hear you defend this.
Well, I will. First of all, I agree with the statement made by Jerry Maguire.
I love black people!
I do. I love black people. I love white people. I love everybody. Now, listen, you're taking this out of context. Our new promotions guy who's running things right now for us here on the Joe and Alex Show is actually from the state I'm originally from. I grew up in Michigan. I grew up in a town which, if you Google it, and I want you to now so you can all judge me.
I'm going to Google right now. How do you spell it?
H-O-W-E-L-L. Howell is how you say it. H-O-W-E-L-L, Michigan. And just maybe do Howell and racism or Howell racist.
Okay, if you're going to if you have to do that, city,
my point is this.
If you're going to Google any city and put racist after, you're going to find something.
Well, I don't know if Howell just come up with like a big thing about the KKK, but my...
No, nothing's showing up.
Okay, well, you know, I'm glad to hear that times have changed. But 14 years ago when I started in radio, I worked part-time in Detroit to get my feet wet, to cut my teeth working in radio. And when they're like, hey, where are you from? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm from Howell. They're like, oh, are you in the Klan? Because back in the 80s, like when I was not even born yet, one of the grand wizards, I guess, of the Ku Klux Klan lived in the country part of like Howell, like out in the woods or something like that.
So just because he lived there, does that mean the whole town?
People, when my mom was a nurse at a hospital and like her friends that were African-American or non-Caucasian, they'd be like, they wouldn't come to our town. Because they thought like we were all like in white hoods, like racist people.
Okay, but this is like 25 years later.
It doesn't matter.
Why do you have to say when you first meet someone, by the way?
I never tell people where I'm from. I don't think where I'm from racist. Do I know people that are racist? Of course, but I know people that are racist in Houston and in Indy. That doesn't matter. But I always have this thing. So when I met our coworker, and he's like, yeah, man, I grew up in Detroit. Like, he's from Detroit. He worked there for our radio company and transferred here to our show now. And I was like, oh, well, hey, what do you think, you know, if I told you I'm from Howell? He's like, oh, I know Howell. I'm like, okay, well, hey, man, I'm not racist. Because I assume...
So awkward.
I assume... Because, Alex, the experiences I've had in the past with other people...
But you don't need to say that, Joe. You let your actions speak for themselves. Just, he will obviously know that you're not racist by you not being racist. Like, you shouldn't have to say that. It's so awkward.
Well, of course, and everybody knows that I'm not racist.
And then it seems like you are because you had to say that.
It's like when someone is like, I'm a really good person. No one who's a really good person vocalizes that they're a good person. Also, I will say, he said, okay, I'm going to tell you where I'm from... And I want to see if you have any, like, preconceived notions or, like, if you have anything to comment. He goes, Alex and Liv, don't say anything. Like,
I just wanted to make sure
you put us
clear.
In there. Like, I knew anything
exactly.
about this.
I was like, what are you talking? I don't know
I've never heard you say anything.
Where you're from. Like, why would I know?
Okay.
If you're African-American, I would like to know, would you like it if the first thing you do when you meet a white person is that they tell you, hey, by the way, I'm not racist?
I don't tell people that. I told him
you
that.
You told him.
Because he's from Detroit, and okay. I grew up in Howell.
But
in
I want to know how they would react.
And in Michigan, where I'm from, people back in the day when I was a younger guy, when I was like 18, they were like, oh, when I told them, and I worked in Detroit radio, they were like, oh, you were in the Klan.
Sounds like a guilty conscience.
And to be fair, I do have a guilty conscience. I'm a fat, bald guy with a beard. I either look like a Klan's member or a child molester, so I have two strikes against me off the bat.
833-JOE-ALEX, 833-JOE-ALEX, especially if you're African-American, please call us. Would you be weirded out if you met a white person and the first thing they say is, I'm not racist?
What should I have done then, too?
Not said anything, just, hi, I'm Joe, like a normal human.
You could have even been like, I'm from Michigan. Michigan is great. Love Detroit Lions, the Tiger. Like, go in for sports. The first thing out of your mouth is, I'm not racist.
I honestly think you guys are making this sound way worse than what actually happened.
No. Pork Chop, you have to be a nincompoop to say something like that.
Pork Chop, can you give me some actual like words of wisdom here? Because obviously you're the most level-headed person on the show. And you also lived in Michigan for a bit.
Right. I have lived in Michigan for 3 years, so I understand that that area can be, you know, a little sketchy. So
yeah.
Alex and Liv are not from there, so they don't know that. He's from there, so he knows that. So I guess it's okay, but only because of how long ago it was, Joe. I don't think you had to.
I know, and you know what? I don't think going forward I have to. I've kind of learned that, though. But listen, like...
Oh, in the last 24 hours?
But for our company we work for a company called Urban One. It's an African-American community. They serve the African-American community, the black community.
Yeah.
Not the Caucasian, Joe Howell, you know, boring white people community. So my point simply being is that I just... do I feel awkward around coworkers here? No, I don't think any coworker thinks I am, but they also don't know where I'm from.
Right. People are dying on Facebook if you search for Radio Now. Like, they think this is the funniest thing. They're all saying Classic Joe. That is exactly what Liv and I said yesterday. This is a Classic Joe scenario. If you are new to the Joe and Alex Show and you don't know, Joe is famous for constantly putting his foot in his mouth and saying stupid, weird things when he first meets somebody. Like, what is that called when you lead a wedding?
Oh, officiant?
He was an officiant for a wedding for a listener, and then at the end of the wedding asked them if he could hang out with them.
Okay, you know what? We're one topic at a time. 833-JOE-ALEX. I see we're getting some calls. I'd love to have people that are African-American, black, whatever you want to say. 833-JOE-ALEX, call in and tell me how you'd feel if we would have had this interaction yesterday. And does anybody understand where I'm coming from?
No.
Anybody? 833-JOE-ALEX. We'll talk to you after this song. It is the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all.
Yeah, that's right. We're the Joe and Alex Show.
None of us are black.
No, we're pretty white. Lenny, you're like, aren't you part black?
I'm half black.
There you go. I think that counts to me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you want to say in this conversation? If people are just tuning into the Joe and Alex Show, we had an incident. We had a new promotions guy work. We got introduced to him yesterday, and I found out he's from Michigan, where I'm from, and I'm kind of from like a city that has a reputation in the past of being very racist and associated with the Ku Klux Klan. So I never like to tell anybody, not even white people, where I'm from. I just give it like a nearby city. So like, oh, okay, that city's cool. They're not racist. Because I just feel like people will judge me and think that I have that hate in my heart, which I don't.
This is like 25 freaking years ago they were known for this,
okay, well,
by the way.
It's on Wikipedia. We're going to talk about that. But Lenny, what did you want to say about this?
I mean, to be honest, this happens to me all the time, and I feel like it happens to black people all the time. So I feel like it's kind of like
washed down. I remember one time somebody got into my car, and this was my first time meeting them. And you know how you do that joke, like, who wants to do a line?
No, I usually don't do cocaine jokes with my friends, but okay.
Okay. Well, it wasn't my friend. It was a random person.
Okay.
So like, he hops in the car, and he's like, no, and he was, like, laughing. He was like, he said something. He's like, I don't say that just because you're black. And it's like, people make those jokes all the time, so it's like no big deal. You
right.
Know what
it's
I
like
mean?
You were like, well, I didn't think you made that joke because I was black,
exactly.
So it didn't have to be said.
Or have you heard of code switching?
No.
I'm learning a lot it's today.
Like, it's like when you come around a black person and you start talking like you're black.
What?
Like you clearly do not
That's
talk
so
with Ebonics, but you try to relate.
Oh my gosh. Well, Aaron.
I feel you, what you're saying, man. That's real.
Aaron just tweeted us at Joe and Alex Show. He said, I would brush it off because I'm at work, but in my mind, I'd be like, I have to watch him. LOL.
Let's kick things off with Sasha. By the way, it's 833 Joe Alex, 833-563-2539. Hey, Sasha, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. What'd you want to say?
I just wanted to say, I would not tell people that I'm black, you know, and I wouldn't be like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and by the way, I'm not racist. Like, me, I would just be, you know, I don't know what I'd do. I would just look at you like, is something wrong with him? But I know my brothers, they'd be like, what the hell, you know, I'll cuss them out or I want to fight them or something.
Why?
They would just be, like, totally weird. See? Because you just want to introduce yourself for the first time, and then you say, oh, by the way, I'm not racist.
It's like you're automatically making it about race, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, you're making it a big deal. Like, I don't even want someone to see me for my color. I just want someone to see me as just who
right,
I am.
Right.
Well, that's exactly my point. I want people to see me as a big, cute, cuddly bear. You know, well, that sounds like a gay reference.
And you
but
may
like,
be, so don't make it about race.
Right.
And don't say what color you are. I mean, or I'm not racist. You know, I'm not this or I'm not that. I mean, just be who you are.
Sasha, I didn't say, hey, I'm not racist, I have a black friend. That's pretty dumb. I didn't say that.
I've had people say that before.
I know. Oh, give me credit. Oh, I'm a little bit better than that. Hey, thank you. I see your point. Let's go to Renee. Renee's on the Joe and Alex Show. They're saying I pulled a Joe. What do you think about this?
I get where you're coming from, Joe, but yeah, that's a little weird.
How would you have reacted?
To me, I would have just brushed it off. I mean, I get what he was going with it, so I'm not offended by it, but I would have just laughed it off and be like, okay, I'm not either.
That's hilarious.
All right, thank you, Renee, for calling into the Joe and Alex Show. All right, hold on. This is who I've been waiting to talk to. Tanner, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. Did you look up my city that I'm from?
Yeah, first sentence on Wikipedia says battles image of racism. And second line down is Patriot Front. Apparently they were putting out flyers last year, and it's some white supremacist group that's still pretty active.
See, I haven't been there for I looked it up too. It says, historic reputation. For many decades, Howell has had the reputation of being associated with the Ku Klux Klan due to white supremacist leader Michigan Grand Dragon Robert E. Miles, who held KKK gatherings on his farm located 10 miles north of the city for the Howell address. Miles died in 92. However, the gatherings, including the burning of crosses, continued. Yay! And then there's talking about how back in 1988, a cross was burned on the lawn of a black family. I know that's way in the past, and that's when I was a young child, even before I was born. My point is, though, when I grew up in Michigan, where I was from, when I was a child and those memories, I remember being like in fifth or sixth grade, driving from the Walmart, going back home, and there's these dumbass dudes in Klan's gear having a rally at the courthouse where
Yikes.
I grew up. My point is, I just feel like I hate that, and I don't want ever anybody to think that I'm some racist idiot or stupid person. I love everybody. I don't care. I'll hate you if you're a dumb, like, white person or black person. Like, if you're a bad person, you're a bad person. I won't give you love. But if you're a good person, I love you.
Okay, here's also another thing. How many new people we meet where you're automatically like, oh, I'm from Howell, Michigan? It's like the whole thing of why you brought it up. And even if,
because
like,
he was from Detroit, Michigan, and people in Michigan where I'm from, there's certain parts in the country where you know, oh, that happened in that town.
Okay.
If I met a new employee today that was black, African American today, I wouldn't be like, oh, hey, I'm not racist. I'm from Howell, Michigan. If you ever go through there, there's a racist stuff passed. Just want to let you know that.
That's pretty much what it sounded like.
Hey, if you're white, I don't have to tell you this, but
But
if you were black, I would tell you this.
Were we wrong to be mortified or right to
yes!
be mortified? You can comment on Facebook Radio Now. Just search for that and let us know what you think.
Okay, I just want to clarify one more time.
I love black people!
okay? I do. I love everybody. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. So somebody on the Joe and Alex Show, there's nothing wrong with it, by the way, lost their ever-loving mind yesterday and started bawling, crying. Alex, did you cry yesterday? I mean, you cry sometimes.
I did, but it was not about this story. That I cried listening to some sad music.
What song was it?
I was listening to all these Scary Pool Party songs, which is what I was into this week. Okay. Scary Pool Party, the guy from American Idol.
You're like the girl that got dumped in like a 90s chick flick.
Yes, I am. That's exactly how I've been acting pretty much for the last several months.
That's how everyone acts when they do a breakup, so it's okay, girlfriend.
Was it you, Liv the Web Girl? Were you kind of overwhelmed yesterday at all? Did you break down crying?
No. Okay. I did not. I was tired, but I didn't cry.
Pork chop. What about you? Did you let some tears come out of that little tear duct of yours?
Nope, no tears here.
Okay. Well, then I guess we all know who it is. It's me. And it's funny. Yesterday, as we're wrapping up the show, we tried to plan ahead what we're doing the next day. And I'm like, well, maybe there's something that'll happen at therapy I could talk about, but probably not. Lindsay and I have been pretty good. Like, it'll probably be just another boring session to work on some goals. So I thought, but I woke up from a nap at like 5:50 or so and went right to my therapist at 6. It's right down the road. And I sit down. My wife's there. My therapist, Julie's there. And I'm just really tired and sluggish. And I'm like, okay, make sure Lindsay talks because she can get stuff out because I feel like we always talk about me. And I don't know what it was, but this heaviness just came over me. And I just felt so sad, so just like negative. And I just started talking about things and about how I feel like she congratulated me. This is what it was. My therapist congratulated me that our ratings, thanks to you for listening, you made us number one. And one of my goals.
How'd she know?
She saw it on our social media.
Oh, she follows us?
Sometimes. She's not like, no, I don't think it is. She's not like Liv's old therapist. Only time we talk about the show is when I'm complaining about you.
Liv's old therapist is the reason I won't get a therapist because it freaks me out because she was such a fan of the show and listened every single day and like talk to Liv about what she heard on the show. Yeah, that's what you said.
She was not a fan of the show.
Well, she listened.
She didn't know who I was when I first got in. She only started listening when I started complaining about the show.
Yeah, well, that's what listening. I don't. Either of those scenarios, I don't want to happen to me. So it freaks me out.
I know, but that's such a rare thing. But you should go see a therapist. Yeah. But anyways.
But no, I'm glad my therapist is pretty cool. I mean, she knows what I do, but I'm glad she doesn't care that much. At least she doesn't act like she does, which is good. I'm just a regular Joe. But we're sitting in there and we're talking. And she's like, well, congratulations, because she talks about how I do, for whatever reason in my life growing up as a kid, I never really celebrated things. Like, I just, like, something happens, I'm like, yay, cool, whatever. I mean, Alex knows that. Every time something, like, if we get nominated for Best Morning Show on the stage,
Joe doesn't
want to
talk about it.
I never want to talk about it.
Pisses me off. Because we work our asses off behind the scenes to make a good show. At least we try to. And I always want to give ourselves a pat on the back and share those wins with you because all of us working together is why those things happen. You listening, us talking about it, et cetera. And so he always is like, no, it's not that big of a deal. Let's not say
anything. You guys are like polar opposites. Alex is a very like over celebrator, and you're a very, very, very under celebrator.
And one thing I talked to my therapist about like a year ago when I started seeing her, I'm like, you know, like she's like, well, what would make you happy, Joe? And I'm like, I have all these things in my head that I'm like, well, when this happens, I will finally be happy. I won't be such an a-hole. I won't be so upset about like this would be, I know this would make my life a little bit better. And she's like, one thing she brought up, she's like, you said you want to get better ratings. Like you want to, and we have. We went from terrible to like number one. And she's like, and you're not even happy about it. I'm like, no, you're right, because I still think it's not good enough. Like,
what would be better than number one? Nothing else exists. There isn't one plus.
Well, we could. I mean, like, I'm like, well, what if we never do it again? You know, like, there's all these things in my head. I'm like, well, we have to do it consistently now. And I mean, you always should celebrate. But she's right. I just like, you're right. Like, I'm not happy. Like, I really thought that would make me happy, and it didn't. And then we started. That's what kind of opened up the ductworks because we started talking about things. And this is where I might start crying right now. So if it is, you guys better fill the time while I can't talk. But my wife and I were going over things that are happening in our relationship. And the thing that I know things have been kind of rocky with my wife and I, just like that she's unhappy with certain things in our relationship. But to hear out of my wife's mouth a couple of weeks ago, and this is just totally honest and open, I'm only saying this because I asked her, could I please share this personal detail on air? Because I feel like normally you wouldn't share this at therapy and other people don't share this, Alex. I think you should go to a therapist. But one thing that my wife said that's been weighing on my mind, because I feel in general just my life growing up, for whatever reason, I can blame my parents, I guess. I feel like I'm never good enough. Like everything I do is not good enough. And that's why I want everything to be so much better than it is. And I'm never happy. And my wife shared with me and my therapist. She's like, you know, Joe was this one guy when I started dating him, but I think now, like, we've been together for almost 7 years. I think that maybe we're just two different people, and maybe we're not meant to be together.
Ooh,
she's
wow.
like, she's like, I've thought about that, and I've questioned that at times. And to know that you're like that sometimes, and I know some things I do are maybe not the best husband, and I work on that. And I genuinely am always trying, but sometimes I'm in this like weird dark place where I'm not myself with depression. And it's still tough. But to hear my wife, Lindsay, say, to actually hear her articulate it, I could feel it and I could kind of know. But when somebody verbalizes right. something to you and mm-hmm. says, hey, you know, like, I just don't, maybe we don't go together. It's like, wow.
So how did you feel? What did you say?
That just crushed me. I mean, this was a few weeks ago, and it's been weighing on my mind. I've been internalizing it, and I'm there talking about it. It makes me feel terrible. Right. I mean, it's easy to say, like, truly, God's honest truth. If my wife and I weren't meant to be together, I'm a coward. I don't think I could divorce my wife. She'd have to divorce me. I'm so afraid of being alone. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't want to be alone though, too. Like, I really love my wife, and I've, like she said, you've been great these past couple of weeks. You've been helping me out so much around the house, like. But in my mind, though, I've been slacking off for so long. I've always wanted to do that. But for whatever reason, I haven't done it or couldn't do it. And it's like, but I swear that God's honest truth, I've always wanted to be the good husband for you and make you happy and make you feel like we belong together. But that weighing on my mind, other things like behind the scenes, since we're just opening everything up, I don't want to get too deep in it right now. But I mean, I'm just unhappy with so many things in my life, with my weight. I have certain visions of how I wish the show would be as far as the relationships with everybody on the show. And some days were good. Other days, I think everybody on the show hates me. And like, I have all these things in my head, whether they're true or not. But I just have all these things where I feel like I'm failing at everything. I feel like my relationship with Alex is a failure at times. Like, we get along sometimes. We do a great show. Other times, I feel like we hate each other. And maybe you don't hate me. I don't know, Alex. But like, I just, in my head, that's what I think. And same thing with Liv. I think she probably thinks I'm an a-hole all the time, being on her case about, hey, can you put this on social media? Or Porkchop, he probably thinks, God, this guy's such a jerk to me. And I don't, and I started to like wonder myself, am I, you know, like I say I'm not a jerk, I say I'm not an a-hole, but like, am I? Like, deep down, is the real true Joe just a terrible person, and he sounds great on the radio for 4 hours a day, and he sounds friendly and nice? Because I don't want to be the jerk. I don't want to be the angry guy. I have so much anger. I'm starting to cry right now.
Aww.
I have so much of this stuff inside of me, and I need to figure out why. I'm in a really weird spot, and at the same time, like I've been off medicine, and my personal opinion, I told my therapist, and she said, well, we got to work, you know, we got to start seeing you individually too. I'm glad that I'm sad. I'm glad that I'm crying, because the spot I was like 4 or 5 months ago when I was on medicine, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be on medicine. To each their own. Everybody's got their own path, but I was so numb that I just didn't have any feelings. I mean, I still was upset, but I at least like now that I'm about to cry while I'm talking, because at least something.
Does your therapist think that it is the best thing for you, just knowing you and your emotions and where you're at mentally, that you are off the antidepressants and anxiety meds? Or do you think that she's wondering if you should be back on or just try a different one?
We didn't talk. We're going to talk more about that individually when I see her.
Do you want to get back on something or no?
I don't, and I'm not opposed to it. I'm not like, oh, you're a crazy person if you're on meds, because I finally said, hey, maybe I should try that. Maybe that would help me out. And I know there's different things. I know there's different options out there. I don't know. I know it's such a struggle for people, and it's weird, Alex. I don't know if you'd want to feel this way. Because I don't know how you feel, Alex. I know, like, sometimes you're happy or sad. You're a very emotional person in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Would you rather be numb to all your feelings or just be sad?
I think it depends on the level of sadness. If your sadness is a temporary passing emotion where it lasts a couple hours, you know, one day, and then you can bounce back, I think that that's a reason you don't need to be on medicine. But I think if your sadness is something that is crippling to you, you feel like you cannot experience or enjoy life, you can't experience and enjoy your relationships, you can't put effort into your relationships in the right way, work, personal, all of that, then I think then that might be a reason. If nothing changes, you know, like, I go through all the emotions all the time, but nothing is just consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not always sad. I would say in the last 6 months I've probably been my saddest, but I haven't been thinking it's to the point where I need to be on antidepressants, at least right now.
You mm-hmm. haven't been constantly sad.
I'm not constantly sad or constantly angry.
I wanted to, and this is what really, like, because I started to cry there, but it's weird. When I texted you guys, I said, holy mm-hmm. crap, we got to talk about this. But after I talked about it with my therapist and did this exercise I want to do with you real quick, I just feel like it's all the weight's gone. Like I just flushed it out. Like I took a giant dump or something.
Okay.
And I want Alex to do this, but you guys can do this. You can do this at home with yourself. Don't do it while you're driving. But Alex, I want you to look around right now in our Radio Now studio. I want you to look around, and I want you to look at everything that is. I'll just pick a color. Think of all the things that are pink. So look around. Don't say it. Do not say it. Just look around. I'm going to give you like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Alex is looking around the room. She's going to name things that are, she's going to remember things that are pink and then go from there.
Okay.
All right. I think that's 10 seconds. All right, Alex, I want you to close your eyes real quick.
Okay.
I want you to tell me everything right now in our Radio Now studio that is brown.
Oh, brown. My hair color, your beard color. And, that's really the only thing I can think of.
Is that kind of hard?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she told me this is a little exercise she does with little kids. It talks about putting on, like, you know, your glasses, the way you see things in life. It's that if I only look at all the things that, let's say, are pink, I told you to look at, let's say those are all negative things.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to see all the great positive things, which could be the color brown. I was like, dang, Julie.
That's really
good.
That's
some wisdom you just dropped
like
on
such,
me.
That's so good for every aspect, not even just like your own emotions, but even looking at like just like perspectives on like world topics.
Yeah, she said instead of thinking I'm not worthy, I need to look at the positives as proof that I'm worthy, like the ratings, like that we're doing a good job as a show.
Yeah.
And all the things that I do, I need to write those down. She says I really have to do that positive affirmation so I can see it and make myself believe it. And she says, Joe, you're gonna have to challenge your core beliefs that because my core belief is this, like who I believe I am. I believe that I'm not good enough and I'm not worth it. Like, I'm not worth enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just childhood stuff. I mean, that's deeper on another level. But let's get to some phone calls. I know we're going kind of long on this one, but I appreciate you calling in at 833-JOE-ALEX. Ola, this is terrible. I see on the screen you met me. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Down at the children's museum. I didn't know who Michael Phelps was.
Okay, well, we all know now.
Yeah, I met you down at the children's museum one night at the 21 and overnight. I just wanted to say, Joe, I listen to your guys' radio show quite a bit. And I don't really care to hear you talk down about yourself the way you do. It don't matter if you're a big guy. That's just more pounds for your old lady to love. You're a big guy. I like the things you say. Alex, she's always bubbly and good personality. I'd say my suggestion would be to take in a little bit of what Alex is doing. Let her enjoy it with her. You know what I'm saying? You deserve it. You work hard for it.
No, I think you're right. I don't think you're wrong. It's just I got to figure out what's screwed up with me. Why is it that I can't celebrate something? Because I fight for it. I yell at Alex and Liv and Pork Chop, guys, we need this. We're never going to be it. And then we're there and I'm upset.
I kind of think you might have hit the nail on the head when you said that you felt growing up you were never good enough. Like, because I kind of feel like that too. Like, my parents loved me to death, but I feel like I just never reached far enough to make them proud.
I think sometimes.
I still, as an adult, try.
Yeah. I think that sometimes when we have gone through really dark trauma or tribulations in our life, I think sometimes it is comfortable and it's actually easier to be a victim. What is admirable and inspiring is to say that I'm going to be a victor and I'm going to, yes, I had a crappy childhood and I had all these things happen to me, and it is easier and more comfortable to be anxious and allow myself to be angry and to focus on negatives and to put myself down when I look in the mirror. But it is harder but better to look in the mirror and be like, no, I am good enough. I'm going to do all of these different things. And I think also it is super important. I will tell you this. I think it is super important for you and Lindsay, I think it would be great for you guys to get more plugged into your church and get into small groups and have other people that are faith-based and have a great relationship with Christ that can pour into you in your marriage and hold you accountable, and that can help you with that as well as having friends like that. Because the thing is a lot of people talk about self-love. You have to love yourself or you're never going to feel good enough and all these different things. How can you love anyone else if you don't love yourself? But here is the truth. And the world does not want you to know this or to talk about this. But the truth is, you will never love yourself enough. Self-love is a myth. It doesn't exist. We are always, we're human beings, so we're never going to be able to do that. The only person that we can ever find that affirmation in is our relationship with Christ. And that may not be the popular thing. And if you are not a Christian or faith-based person, then you probably don't like that I'm saying that. But I'm not going to not say it.
I know everything. I'm the devil.
I think that would really help.
I do think I am a faith-based person and I am Catholic. I have a really good relationship with God. I like to think I do think self-love is important, and it's more of just accepting accepting who you are and accepting yourself. Obviously, no one is perfect. Everyone has those flaws, but it's looking at those flaws and be like, you know what? That's okay. I can try to be better. I'll be better tomorrow. But it's accepting yourself for who you are as a person. Accept that you failed in your weight loss journey. That is okay. That is it. You know, you have flaws. Every single human being on this planet has flaws. That's how God created you.
Yeah, it is good to do that, but we will fail as humans trying to do that. We will always fall back into not liking something about ourselves, because we're not supernatural beings,
right? And it's okay to accept that, and you should accept those flaws.
You do, but what I'm saying is, as human beings, we will never be good enough. We will never be able to find that in yourself.
And I just want to make sure, like, self-love's not like. Self-love?
No, like, okay, just okay. Emotionally telling yourself every day that you're good enough. You will have days where you're just incapable of doing that because we're human.
Hey, Porkchop? Porkchop in the background answering phones. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
We got like a bunch of phone calls here, and this has went really long. I know our new boss is going to yell at me for talking this long. Like, what do? Do I take more calls? Do I just play a song? I know we got to get the garbage coming up here. I mean, what do, boss man?
Let's take line two, and then we can...
I'll talk to the other people off air?
Yes.
Okay. Leslie, hey, please everybody else hang on, because I do want to talk to you. You're on the Joe and Alex Show. What would you like to say as we wrap this up here?
Oh, my gosh. Well, what you were talking about earlier with the depression was really resonating with me. It's something I've always struggled with my whole life, and even into adulthood. I have a wonderful family. I have a wonderful situation. I'm living with my husband. I have two daughters. Like, life couldn't be better. Yet, I felt so bad about myself. For some reason, I couldn't see, like what you were talking about, I couldn't see the pink. And so I know you were talking about medication and how you felt like numb, like you really didn't feel a whole lot of emotion.
It was terrible. I felt nothing. I felt no sexual like drive. Not like I'm saying you need to hook up.
Exactly.
Like I felt numb.
No,
like there was nothing there.
Yes, and that's how I felt. I felt like a bottomless pit when I ate food. Like it didn't even register I was full.
Mm-hmm.
So I gained all this weight. I went into the doctor and I told them I'm having this sexual dysfunction in all the ways. I can't stop eating. I still feel horrible, although I'm not feeling anything. I'm not crying. I still don't feel great. I'm having issues with my husband because he sees me not being my best. And so I tried a different medication, and you still have to advocate for yourself, okay? Like, this is all about patient advocated. You have to advocate for yourself what you want, what you need. And if your doctor doesn't provide that, you find another one. And so I found a medication. I got on a great medication, Wellbutrin, honestly. It helped me incredibly. I got trazodone at nighttime to help me sleep through the night because I was always having trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
No sexual dysfunction. I feel joy. Like, I feel joy.
You sound really happy right now. You
night.
Sound good. You sound like you're in a good spot. And I got to tell you, too. Leslie, I just want to say, and I mean, we all feel the same way. Alex Live Porkchop. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of cojones. I don't know what women would have. A lot of uterus stuff, whatever. A lot of power, a lot of strength to call
for
in and
sure.
share this. Because it's not easy for me, but I mean, it's what I do. I overshare. We've realized that if you listen to any of the show today, if not, go check out the podcast and see what I did with our new coworker. But for you to call in and share that. Thank you. No, it is.
And stuff. Like, people deal with this all day. You can walk past 100 people living this way because nobody knows how to ask for help. There's shame in asking for help. You don't know what to do. When you're so far in it, you don't want to ask for help.
Well, I'm so glad, Leslie, that you were able to get the help you needed, and I'm so glad that you called, and so many people you could have impacted this morning that might be going through the same thing that you are. Everybody that's on hold, please hang on, because I'll talk to you off air, unless you don't want to talk to me. That's fine. I'll just be depressed about that then. But we'll get that. Or if you DM us, I'll try to get back to you too. But I thought it was kind of cool, and maybe I can explain that whole process again about the colors thing.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I'm glad you're working through
it. The lenses of life, Alex, can be really different when you actually put on a different pair.
Hashtag the lens is the life.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Well, we got a new winner on The Voice last night.
Ooh.
The winner of The Voice is Maylin German.
Kanye West wants to become an ordained minister after the birth of his fourth child with Kim Kardashian, Psalm West. After hosting his Sunday service for quite some time now, a source says that Kanye's ready to become a minister. They said Kanye is convinced that his calling in life is now gospel and spreading the word of God. He has always been a man of faith, but he has taken it to a whole new level now. They honestly think that they are religious leaders now. Kanye thinks that he may have been Jesus in a past life, and he has Kim convinced she was the Virgin Mary.
Now, hallelujah, brother Kanye!
That's beyond disturbing.
Honestly, like,
he's not just FYI, he is not spreading the gospel if he thinks that he was Jesus in a past life and Kim is the Virgin Mary. He's not spreading the gospel. So what he is spreading is not that.
Blasphemy! Now here's my thing. If this was in a church service, I might donate a little bit more money.
Green Bay Packers quarterback and a huge Game of Thrones fan, apparently, Aaron Rodgers, says that he was unhappy with the way the show ended. He did have a cameo even on one of the final episodes because he's such a big fan. But by the way, if you have not watched, I guess, Game of Thrones yet, what he says in this clip is a spoiler, so you might want to turn it down for like 30 seconds.
Spoiler alert!
I love the show, but you come down to the end and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
Friend star Lisa Kudrow says she starved herself during the show to try and look like her co-stars Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. During a recent interview, she says she suffered from deep physical insecurities and said, "You see yourself on TV and it's that, oh my God, I'm just a mountain of a girl thing." She said, "I'm already bigger than Courtney and Jennifer. Bigger, like I feel bigger. I just felt like this mountain of a woman next to them." Over the years, I guess she became more comfortable with herself but still struggled at times. And Will Smith was on Ellen. He talked about being nervous taking the new role in Aladdin as Genie because Robin Williams was the first Genie.
Did you know this was happening?
The first thing, so they called and they said, "Hey, we want you to play the Genie. We're doing a live action version of Aladdin." And I was like, "Nah, man." No, Robin Williams like smashed that thing. You know, it's like you have to be careful stepping into, you know, projects like that.
I'd be so fearful. Like Robin Williams, like killed it. He didn't do anything bad.
It's huge
like,
shoes.
You can only pretty much fail, right, or be just as good.
I would be so scared too. Coming up in less than an hour, this pop star is paying people speeding tickets.
For more garbage, go to JoeAndAlexShow.com.
Okay, this could be a little weird, maybe a little personal, a little intimate, but hey, it wouldn't be the Joe and Alex show if we didn't do that. We want to know, 833-JOE-ALEX, who was your first crush?
Cartoon crush.
Okay, like I said, a little weird. Your first cartoon crush, 833-JOE-ALEX. That's kind of one of my crushes right there.
Oh, that's a hint.
Yeah, and it's a boy. Isn't that weird? Okay, it's coming up here on the Joe and Alex show on Radio Now. Now, I say this a lot, so it's probably like, okay, we've heard this before, Joe. But I think this might be one of the weirder conversations that we have here on the Joe and Alex show. And I don't know if anybody's going to be able to call in besides Alex, but 833-JOE-ALEX is our number. That's 833-563-2539. The question we're asking you this morning is, who was your first crush?
On cartoons. A cartoon crush.
Alex, nobody has a cartoon crush.
Everyone has one. Everyone does. 833-JOE-ALEX.
All right, Alex. Fine. Why don't you kick it off and hopefully we'll... Please, Lord Jesus, let people call in for this topic. Who was your first crush?
Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the blonde one?
Yes.
You think the zombie could have done it?
Yeah. He was smart. He was solving mysteries. He had his little scarf that he would always wear.
He's a little preppy guy.
Yes. Oh, he was so sexy and tall. And also, it was so hot how he would always take charge and tell Daphne he was going to protect her and that he was going to lead the way when they went off to try to find the ghost or whatever.
Liv
so
isn't like
sexy.
That. She's like, "Not very feminist to me." I don't think so.
I never watched Scooby-Doo as a kid. So
oh, I love Scooby-Doo.
My number one crush, cartoon crush, was Twister from Rocket Power.
Oh.
That was on Nickelodeon. And when I was in, I think, fifth or sixth grade, I sobbed for probably two like weeks or like a month straight, like actually cried, had to have my mom like hold me in her arms because I was sobbing so hard because he didn't exist. So I could never be with him. Like I was distraught as a little girl because I was like, he's my one true love and I'll never be able to be with him because he doesn't exist.
That's
amazing. Can I play this clip or is it going to be too much for you?
It might be too much, but please play it.
All right.
The manatee is close to extinction. Oh, man, I better hurry.
Here, Manatee, Manatee! Here, boy! I'm too late! What a ripoff! They're extinct before the exhibits even open.
This is him?
Yes, because he was stupid. He was so dumb.
I don't know why I thought I remembered his voice being older than that. Yes, that is a very little kid voice.
Here's the thing. There was a voice change in all of the Rocket Power characters.
Yeah, I thought they sounded like teenagers. Yes,
so he has a way hotter voice. In the later episodes, but I thought that was a good clip because that's like when I truly fell like in love with him.
And then that's the moment.
Even when he got a deeper voice, I was like, oh my gosh, I can never be with him. It's so sad. Like actual tears rolling down my face, ugly crying like Kim K.
That's amazing.
Like snot in my nose. It was just awful.
So Joe, who is yours? Because you have to, if you think about it, you've got to have one cartoon character that you were like, okay, they're kind of cute.
Okay, well, I think this might be one.
Have you met my left fist?
No, it's not Miss Piggy.
Yes, because Miss Piggy embodies, you know, she embodies some of the people that I kind of, maybe I don't like their music necessarily, but I'm like physically attracted, I have a crush on. Like Mariah Carey, I know all of her people hate me, but I think she's like attractive. And then, like, she kind of, and I don't mean, see,
because you are into thick women, even
people are
going to
take this
boy
as an insult. And I'm not, listen, I think they're beautiful women, but I also think Meghan Trainor is very beautiful. But, like, Meghan Trainor and Mariah Carey kind of remind me of my first cartoon crush, which would be Miss Piggy.
Oh my gosh.
They remind me of her too, but not in the same way.
Yeah, they're all divas.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, I guess that would be my kind of a little crush. 833 Joe Alex, if anybody has a cartoon crush.
Our social media is blowing up right now. Someone said their first crush was Simba.
Ooh.
That's not even a person.
From The Lion King.
That's an animal. Young. And then someone,
animals can be hot on cartoons.
Someone said their first crush was Casper, the friendly ghost.
That kid, he was like two.
But he wasn't even a kid. He was a ghost.
Yeah,
what is there
but he's
to like?
A baby ghost.
What's all these pedophile crushes? Eric, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What was your cartoon crush?
Her name was Bulma from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I never got into the anime stuff.
What?
Well, I like anime and all, but when I was younger, you know, back in the early 90s, I started watching Dragon Ball, and there she was, blue hair and everything.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Someone named Rub tweeted us, at Joe Dog Show. They said Danny Phantom. Danny Phantom from Nickelodeon was a teenage half-human, half-ghost boy, and he was hot.
He was smoking hot.
Michael said Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She's intelligent, humble, selfless, and the least shallow of all the Disney princesses.
True.
She also loves her father, and how a woman treats her father is how she will treat her husband.
Ooh.
Caitlin's on the Joe and Alex show. Caitlin, who is your cartoon crush?
Mine was Otto off of Rocket Power.
Yes.
I was like obsessed with him.
He had freckles or something, didn't he?
I don't really remember. I just remember he had like this crazy hair and I don't know, his voice. Just I don't know. I was just obsessed with him.
Oh, this kid is ugly. He is way too thin of lips.
Wait, who? Twister or
Otto?
Otto?
Well, I was like eight. I didn't look at his lips.
Twister and him are always shirtless.
It's nice, right? That's why we had a crush on the Rocket Power.
Double standard.
Okay,
I was saying like
Twister is the one that has the freckles.
Did you see those Powderpuff Girls? Yeah, they were nice.
The Rocket Power guys were so hot because they loved to surf and skateboard, and they're like Cali bros.
I don't think either of them are hot at all.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I just thought they were like the.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, Caitlin. 833-JOE-ALEX is the number. We'll wrap it up with Julaine here. Hey, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What was it for you that you're like, you know what? This is my cartoon crush.
It was and always will be Aladdin.
Yes. It's
I
so good.
I always had a thing for Middle Eastern men, and I blame that 100% on Aladdin. Like, the more you look like him, the more I'm like all about you.
Yeah,
like,
I am very attracted to Latino guys and Middle Eastern guys. That is my jam for sure.
Wow. Yes. What if I sang to you, I can show you the world.
That is my dream.
Something
not
on a
from
magic
you, but
carpet ride. I've got a monkey named Apu.
But you cannot deny. I think Liv's crush is, cartoon crush is questionable. You can, no one can deny how
Are
hot Fred
me?
From Scooby-Doo is.
He's
Twister
not.
Was a total Cali bro.
Lenny.
That is hot.
Lenny, our technical producer in Houston on the new 92.1 Radio Now. Did you also have a thing for like Shaggy or Scooby or no?
Not Shaggy or Scooby. I was into the Buttercup Powerpuff Girl.
Ooh,
what color
and that
was
like
she?
Resided for me my whole life. Like now, I like really mean, strong women. It kind of turns me on.
She's the Ooh. Green one.
Yeah.
See, I would have picked Bubbles, the blonde.
Yeah, Bubbles was my favorite.
She was cute.
The
but
green
she was too
girl
ditzy for me.
Buttercup was pretty. Like she's a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just tomboys?
So much when I was a kid. I love tomboys.
She's just a bad bee.
I can't. I honestly, I'm just trying to think of how do I wrap up a conversation about cartoon crushes.
Oh, my cousin's cartoon crush. I'm not kidding you. Is Tommy Pickles?
Okay, that's literally a baby.
That is
but
a baby.
She was basically a baby when she was watching it, and she loved how he was like a leader.
How he always kept that screwdriver in his diaper.
Yeah, she was like a handyman. Yes, I like it.
I feel
Have
so
you guys
wrong.
Seen hentai?
No.
No.
Is that an anime thing?
It's the cartoon version of your favorite character flipping pancakes.
Stop. Oh. Lenny. Okay, we got to know when to stop. This is when you stop. Thank you. Hey, can we put this on our Facebook? Just the Radio
yes.
Now page? Okay, search for it. In Indy, it's Radio Now 100.9. In Houston, it's Radio Now 92.1.
It's also on our Instagram, at Joe and Alex Show.
I just feel so creepy.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. Oh, yeah. It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
We're going to go to England for this one. A guy named Neil from England turned 40 a few weeks ago. Happy 40th, bud. And his 31-year-old friend Lee, they went out drinking, and then, you know, you got to soak up that alcohol, so they stopped at a McDonald's to get some food. I'm not sure if they walked there or if they got, like, an Uber or a cab, but anyways, they somehow wound up there. Now, while they were eating, just randomly, a duck waddled into the place. So I guess,
cute.
Like, somebody at the door, and it's like, I'd like... chicken nuggets.
And it's
that's
shocking
not duck.
Because, you know, ducks don't wear pants and you're not supposed to be able to go in places
well,
without pants.
We will get into about how the duck got arrested for indecent exposure. That is part of the story. Yeah, put on some pants there, buddy. But yeah, while they were eating, the duck walked in and they started arguing about the duck. And I tried to look at multiple stories. I don't know what the argument was about, but I know it was duck related. So I don't know if they're like, hey, I think that's the Aflac duck. I don't know if that's what they were arguing about.
They thought it was a celebrity?
Yeah, I don't know if they thought it was Donald Duck. I don't know if, like, hey, I want to take the duck home or no, that's a chicken. I don't know what exactly it was, but the argument ended up turning into a fist fight. It started brawling inside the McDonald's. Cops arrived on the scene, and then they started fighting with the cops, too.
Okay,
Jeez.
Nope.
Yeah, they were both in court last week, and they're going to get 12 months or a year of probation and $108 in fines.
All because of a duck.
Yeah, I mean, what the duck? That's your dummy of the day here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Riddle me this. Liv the Web Girl, how many riddles are we working with today?
I have 4.
Oh, my God. Why? Why do you give us so many when we can't get one? Do you think we're going to get better?
No, it's an exercise. The more you practice, the better you are.
Okay.
Wish sleeping was an exercise. Okay, riddle
okay.
me this.
What has a neck but no head?
A bottle, ooh, like a beer
ooh,
bottle.
A worm.
No, Joe was right. It's a bottle.
Yeah, we getting drunk up in here.
Dang it,
shocked.
I really was excited about the worm.
I know, I'm sorry. okay. If anything, a worm has a head and
it has
no
two.
Neck.
No, it has two butts.
Okay.
Its butt is its head.
Ass.
What is at the end of a rainbow?
Pot of gold.
At the end of a rainbow, I would say like the ground.
W.
What do you mean?
Rainbow. At the end of the word rainbow is W.
Freaking rails.
Really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
I love that one. Okay. What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man couldn't hold it for more than a minute?
Even the world's strongest man couldn't hold it a
minute?
It's
as light as a feather, but even the strongest
the
man
world.
In the world.
The Earth, because it's in gravity and space.
No, it still has weight.
Yeah, it still has mass. Girlfriend, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. I don't know.
As
light as
your
a
breath.
Feather. It's light as a feather, but even the what?
The world's strongest man couldn't hold. Do you want to answer, Joe?
Air?
Alex was technically right. Breath. His breath.
Woo!
My first riddle! See? This is like the first time you guys have ever gotten any right, and this is like the sixth time we've done it. You just got to practice.
Maybe because we're towards the end of the show, so we're a little bit more awake. When you do this at the beginning of the show, we're like, our brains aren't on yet.
Haven't had our juice.
What occurs once in every minute, twice in every moment, yet never in 1,000 years.
Okay, well, you lost me at this
one. Yeah. When you do 20 security layer codes there.
You got to just talk through it. Occurs once every minute.
Alex, this occurs once every minute.
Twice every moment.
Twice.
What's a moment?
Every moment.
But never in 1,000 years.
But never in 1,000 years.
I don't know.
This one's not hard.
I don't know.
Do you have a guess, Alex?
No, I don't.
Have anything right now.
We don't know this one.
Okay.
I don't think I know.
The letter is M. The letter F. It happens once in a minute, in the beginning, twice in a moment, M-O-M, but it never happens in 1,000 years.
Okay, well, I don't have any riddles, but I do have a joke that I saw today that made me laugh.
Okay, I would like to wrap up with a joke. Let's do it.
Okay. Why did the vampire find out he was sick?
Why did the vampire find out he was sick?
He was coughing.
I was going to guess that, but I don't get the joke.
He was coughing. He found out he was sick. He was coughing.
Why? I don't understand.
He was coughing. C-O-F-F-I-N.
Coughing. 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 Like what dead people lie in.
I saw
like
that. I actually saw another girl that does morning radio post that this morning on Instagram, and I laughed.
That's actually good.
Do we want to have Alex do daily jokes now? Because that was so funny. I don't know. If you liked any of that, if you like Riddle Me This or maybe Alex telling us a joke, you can tweet us at Joe and Alex Show. That's how I like to wrap up the show, with awkward questions. That's the best way to do it. It's the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now 100.9. Man, we got to get out of here. We got so much to do. We got to go to a meeting. Of course, we got our big carb night party. Allie Brooke, this thing gets bigger and bigger. Of course, from Fifth Harmony to help take them to the top of the charts. But she's going to be at our carb night party at the Pavilion at Pan Am on Friday night. And it's also going to be her single release party, too.
Yes. And Jordan Kimball from Bachelor in Paradise and The Bachelorette is going to be there, which I'm super excited about. So you need to get your tickets now. RadioNowIndy.com. I think they're $10.
Yeah, they are. But they could be going up soon. So make sure you get those right now. Alex, what do you got going on today besides that?
We're working all afternoon, so that is my plans.
Yeah, I'm excited. We actually have a meeting with our friends. I believe it's from Monarch Beverage. We're going to be doing something for Yappy Hour. It happens on the last Thursday of every month. We're going to be doing that, and we're going to be at the White River State Park, I believe, right there.
With pets and booze, and you just bring your pets and friends and stuff. It's like a cool hangout.
Yeah, bring your bitches, like your dogs. So it's going to be a good time and a lot of fun. Tito's Handmade Vodka is going to be there, and a bunch of good drinks. So you get all the details for all these cool events we have going on at RadioNowIndy.com. Porkchop, what about you, man?
I just want to completely dog the city of Indianapolis. Like, I hope you're listening right now, like, important people, because the potholes around this place are ridiculous. I've lived all over the country. I've lived in 7 different states, and the potholes here are freaking crazy. So,
I've been trying to say, Joe, have I not? This has been my campaign since the day we started.
It is. Actually, Alex ran for the local city seat, but she couldn't because she's on the radio. But that
we should run for city council.
I think, like, we do a good job.
How much money is the city wasting on repairing people's potholes? Like, there's probably over $1 million in claims. Why don't you just take that $1 million and pave? And I don't want to hear there's not enough workers, because there are people that will work. Train someone. I don't want to hear you don't have money, because you could call your buddy Mike Pence and say, hey man, give us some money to fix these potholes. Like, it's ridiculous, because my boyfriend Chase hit a pothole yesterday, bent his rim, busted his tire, and I've literally got $8 to my name right now. So
I don't know what we're yelling about.
I don't know how noises! Like, you know how many Hoosiers are working paycheck to paycheck, and you know how many people are hitting potholes, and this could seriously, like, ruin them. So I mean
I feel your pain. My alignment is completely screwed up on my car. I've gone through so many sets of tires that people at the tire place know me by name now, because every other week, I'm not kidding you, every other week for a while I've been going in and having to get a whole nother tire because I have another flat from a pothole.
It's absurd. And, like, the reason these elected officials are because the people elected you, and you're supposed to do what's in our best influence. That's why we elected you. And I've only been here 6 months, and it's very easy for me to see that one of the biggest problems for the people is the potholes. So,
well, like, you know, it's good
people
for the
people. Potholes for the people.
Yeah, I'm from the pop of the people's pothole party.
Oh, wait, pork chop for the people's for the potholes.
There we go, dude. You need to run with that.
I'm pork chop. I'm for the people and for the potholes.
That's right.
Anyways, once I finish that, we've got some meetings here, and then I'm going to go to my second job because today's my first day.
Hey, man, if you can make it through today, you can make it through anything, all right?
The people, potholes, people person.
I'm from the pothole party. Wait, I like pot. No, potholes. Okay. All right, hey, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing. I know we got this meeting and then another meeting. It's just we have a busy week, guys. We're so excited getting ready for the Indy 500, and we need to get the heck out of here. Liv the Web Girl's putting on her makeup or taking a dump or doing both. I don't know. Maybe she's multitasking, but she's not in the room right now, so I get to make fun of her when she's not here. That being said, Alex, Liv the Web Girl, and producer Porkchop, myself, Joe, let's get out of here. Let's say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.